Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday. We're back from a three-day weekend, and it's September 3rd, I believe, right? It's a new month, or
yes.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Not me, man.
No? Why not?
I don't know. I guess I am. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
Let time go by fast. What the hell, you know?
Yeah.
We get older faster anyway, it seems like.
I just saw some sort of an ad. It was a couple that's been married for 70 years. And he say, day by day go by slowly, year by year goes by faster, and decade by decade flies.
Right.
So.
that's something to look forward to, you know.
So, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. If you want to see us on Facebook today, we are on Facebook Live. You can go to our page there, LA Talk Radio's page. And we do have a couple of special guests in the studio. We'll get to them in just a moment. And, all the news is full of terrible news. I mean, we have a hurricane. We had a boat accident where 34 people died. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't.
The fire and the dive boat.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Can you imagine going on a weekend to dive and stuff?
Yeah,
and
I'm going in 2 weeks.
Really? Well, you're going on a big cruise, you know, but this was like a small boat, you know.
Oh, damn.
A rather small boat, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and it caught on fire, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So a lot of people, and then we have Dorian, the storm, of course.
Mass shootings,
you know. I mean, a man kills 8 school children in China. A 14-year-old confessed to killing all 5 of his family members. So now that we bummed you out completely.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Yeah, did you do anything?
Yeah, I had a few shows, a few stand-up shows, and I drank. Liquor on the pool. So I feel like that's what you do on Labor Day weekend, right?
Right.
Yeah,
what
it was
pool
nice.
Did you go to? Where you live or the hotel?
Well, I went...
Rooftop?
There was a rooftop, a few rooftop pools. Don't ask me where. As I mentioned before, I was drinking. So I don't...
So you don't even remember what hotel you went to. God, you must have been drinking quite a bit. That shit.
I'm not a big drinker, but...
But how do you get there without knowing the name of the hotel?
Well, I went with my friends and they drove. I'm foreign, so
yeah, who cares?
They drove the car, so I go into this place and it's a pool and I start like partying. It's nice.
There you go.
So I don't know. Did you hear what happened to Kevin Hart?
A car accident. Yeah.
I'm so sad about it.
Really?
And I just want to use this platform to wish Kevin to be well. I know he was going through a surgery. His wife was saying that he's fine. So we love you, Kevin. And stay strong.
Yeah, I guess we do. What is he, a comedian, an actor?
He is a big comedian.
Yeah,
you see. The biggest comedian. And you know what? Such a good man. He was always have those, if you follow him, you'd see he always have those motivationals because stay happy, stay strong. Every time on my Instagram, sometimes I'd be like, God damn it, Kevin. Like I would, because he would do so much. I was like, I don't do enough. But he sounds like a great human being, and I wish you well.
Yeah, well, we all do, I suppose. You know, you don't want to hear about stuff like that and everything, but...
Yeah. How was your weekend?
My weekend sucked, actually, because I had to work a couple days because people insisted on doing their shows on the weekend. I don't know why.
Yeah.
On a holiday weekend. But so I missed a barbecue that I suggested... Then I couldn't go. You know?
That's funny.
I know. So
did your friends do it at the end?
Yeah, my family and friends, and
that's good.
So they did it because now they had, you know, they had it in their mind, you know, the vision of this great barbecue and everything. So
yeah,
they did it anyway.
know, at least here, they did
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know.
Sometimes you just gotta throw the ball.
I know, but I don't travel when other people travel. I have an allergy for traffic and a lot of people in the same place.
Well, you're
place.
Living in the right place then.
Exactly. That's why I'm allergic to everything. No, really. But eventually this is going to end too. You know, we'll have to put an end to this. 44 years in LA is plenty for me, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm ready to move.
I'll tell you what. I think the secret is just going away every once in a while. Like every 3 months or 2 months, I feel like I need to get out.
Yeah.
I need to, well, whatever that, it is, you
that's
go.
That's terrible commentary on this place, you know? You can't stay here for a few months.
No, because it's great, but it's so career driven and it's everything's going so fast. And sometimes, you know, a person needs just to unwind.
Right, right.
I feel, you know?
Yeah, and then work some more to pay for that vacation. You know, that's essentially what we do is we chase our tails here. We work hard so we can afford our nice cars and our nice places and all that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so what do I have left now, you know?
Yeah.
This is what it cost me to live here. So you go somewhere else and you pay half, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go, well, you know, that's the thing. Look, for younger people, there's a lot to do in LA and everything. I know I've lived here. I did all the partying, all the adventures and everything. But now let me mellow out, you know? I mean, this fucking traffic, it's, you know, I mean.
traffic.
Usually takes me 20 minutes.
44 years, Sam, and 35. You still bitch about the traffic.
I do, because it's getting worse all the time.
Yeah, it is getting worse. Yeah. There's more people.
I mean, you know, when it takes you double the time that it normally does to get here, I'm like, you know, that's not exactly what I have in mind.
Yeah.
I'll go fishing during that time.
That's nice.
When I'm in Oregon, yeah.
All my friends went to Burning Man this weekend.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, yeah. I think they had a good time. You never see any pictures because there's no reception and everybody's in a different reality. Let me tell you something. Burning Man is a great, well, it's an experience.
Would you go?
I went once.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I got like a trophy. It was the only trophy I ever got.
Uh-huh.
It says I got wrecked in Burning Man 2016.
Okay.
It's the only award I ever got, Sam. God damn it.
Yeah. I suppose. All right.
Full of surprises.
Yeah. All right, we're going to bring on our guests right now so we can continue our discussion together. And so we have Katie and Harley Wallen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Go ahead, say something.
Hello.
You're on the radio. People can't see you, so you have to talk, you know.
Hi.
Hi. And so, Harley, I didn't realize you were coming too, but you guys work together. You have the same last name, so are you guys married?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're married.
Yeah, well, like, you can't know. You don't want to assume anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but I guess same last name would pretty much give you an idea that a couple is married, right? How long have you guys been married now?
Going to be 8 years.
Seven years. Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
We are getting through the first 7 years, right?
Right.
Yeah, the 7 year itch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we scratch each other.
Yeah. Good. So you don't have to look elsewhere.
Right.
But let me ask you this. Where did you guys meet? Did you meet on the set or something or working? How did it happen?
No, it's really funny now looking back at this because we actually met at a modeling event. It was like a something against bullying or whatever. It was a show, and somebody had asked me to walk, which is, I don't even understand why they asked me. But they asked me to do to walk for this thing, and
it's
fashion
show.
Yeah, and she was bartending there, and I don't know what happened. I just ended up kind of hanging out, talking to her all night.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you.
So, yeah.
I mean, you sit by the bar, you have this beautiful woman. You talk, and it worked.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I did good.
So you asked her out and everything, and she said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good, because it's rare for bartenders to kind of, like, connect with the customers, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to pretty much hit on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
We knew each other a little bit, though, through, like, Facebook and stuff like that beforehand.
Oh, I see.
So that was kind of like we knew of each other.
It helps, yeah. Well, at least it broke the ice.
Breaks the ice,
yeah.
Sure does.
Very cool. Where do you guys live now? I understand you guys are in town visiting now?
Yeah, we're in town for our premiere, for our new movie. But we live in Lake Orion, Michigan, which is...
Michigan.
Yeah, it's where the pace is nice and slow.
Yeah, right?
Why you want to...
Yeah,
similar to what you
great fishing. Listen, Lake Orion. you know, right. lake.
Yeah.
So lots of lakes everywhere around us. It's kind of like
I love that.
It's like a vacation destination. It's actually
our motto here is
we're living is a vacation.
It's a vacation.
Yeah. Wow, I like that. To say,
yeah.
I was going to move to Oregon for the same reason. I found nature there. Mm-hmm. I found a lot of great stuff. I found a house on the lake. You're talking about lakes, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A house on the lake, and I had to. The dream was shattered when I realized I have to stay here and work, you know?
Yeah.
I can't really work part-time somewhere else. In other words, I'm not ready to semi-retire yet.
No.
You know? I have this radio station here and I can't leave, you know?
Yeah.
So, but
you guys are doing great, too. I mean, I've been here a few times and every single time it seems like a really good show and people in Michigan, I'm from Sweden and my family in Sweden have watched and
really?
Listened. Yeah.
Very cool.
So yeah, so you're doing great.
Great. How long have you been here from Sweden? Did you grow up here?
No, I grew up in Sweden.
Oh,
you
did?
I moved here really young. I got really lucky. I was a fighter and a break dancer as a teen and I got on a syndicated TV show in Sweden and they had me do some little thing for acting, and I got bit by the bug immediately, and I was like, I got to go to where the films are made.
Exactly.
And I originally had a really good connection with an agency in Toronto and a good connection in Chicago, so I ended up in Detroit because it's right in the middle. But it's kind of just a wild ride to come all the way over here for that. But
right.
Yeah, I was young. I moved here in 94. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've been here a while.
Yeah.
Have you lived in L.A. at all, in Hollywood?
No, I come here
for the same
reasons that you were just talking about. I love coming here for a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, and then out of here.
So, but I'm surprised because how did you end up in Michigan out of all places? I mean, you came to be where they make movies.
Yeah.
How did you end up in
there
Michigan?
There was an independent filmmaker in Plymouth, Michigan that I connected with online, and he does very artsy black and white movies, and he offered me a lead in two films.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So that was the ticket to move here. And then, like I said, between Toronto and Chicago, I had my strongest agents, so that's why I moved here. It was really close that I was ending up in Miami.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, I didn't want to go to L.A. until L.A. kind of called me, if that makes sense. It's like I see too many people. They live in Michigan or wherever they live, and then they come here before they've done anything. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to be fighting against 1,000 people who know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. You mean 4 million people that we have here. You're
right.
Fighting against all these.
Yeah.
There's a huge line, you know, to success.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, to
you
the
know, you walk into an audition, there's 25 people that look just like you.
Right.
So
it's hard, right?
It's hard. So I think it's smarter, you know, you build your stuff somewhere else where there's you know, a little bit of an easier path to get somewhere, and then you prove yourself.
Right.
I think that's a smarter way to get there.
That's true. And Katie, what about you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Metro Detroit area. I grew up in Romeo, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Just outside of Detroit. Born and raised around that region. So, and it's not that far from where we live now, which is actually awesome. So, like, where you live, really close to all my family.
Really?
Except one who lives here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one lives here.
Yeah. So, that's cool. And so you stayed there, too. You didn't move to L.A. or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, right? Everybody's like, oh, I had to move to where all the action is. And you guys are able to make things work for you back in the Midwest. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes there's not all the noise.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and in noise, I just don't mean just like physical noise from cars and stuff. I'm talking about things and people going there, things happening. And sometimes you get confused, you know, sometimes when I go to Israel, where that's my hometown, I get clear, even that there's a lot of noise in Israel. But I get clear-headed because you're kind of out.
Focus.
Yeah, you're focused. You can see the picture from the outside. Yeah.
Right. You see, for me, the opposite happens when I go to Israel. I get really uptight. I'm like, let me get the fuck out of here, you know, with all these drivers and rude people and stuff, you know. I haven't gotten used to that.
It's like going to New York.
Yeah, exactly. 10 times worse, though. I mean, think Middle East.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if they're rude or they're just very direct.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, I'm direct too, okay? There's a difference between direct and rude, okay? Rude is when someone cuts in line in front of you or when there's no line.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually no lines.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a bunch of people.
I just want to be ahead of you.
A pile of people, climbing each other, over each other. So, very cool. Katie, a little bit about your career. So, what did you do? Did you go to school at all, college or anything?
Is for acting or?
For anything.
Yes. So I really didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. So I just decided to stick with like a community college.
Mm-hmm.
Got like my prereqs in there. And I found myself like in between, you know, who am I and making sure that what I want to do complements who I am. And like it was kind of like a bit of a struggle, but I found myself becoming a myomassologist.
What is that? I know, I saw that in the notes. I'm like, I can't even say it.
I want to know more details.
Yeah. Okay, a myomassologist is a muscle therapist.
Mm.
It's medical terminology. We're basically massage therapist is like the term that most people use.
Overeducated massage therapist.
But it's an overeducated massage therapist for sure. But we do things like it's physical therapy with massage modalities.
Oh, wow.
So back problems. Come to me.
Wow.
All right. But no, I found myself, because I always knew I wanted to help people, and I found myself having this, you know, fulfillment in massage.
Wow.
Also with that, so I went to school for that, but afterwards, when we started really jumping into like the acting and stuff, I mean, really just having a coach through all of this. I didn't go to any schooling for that. So
yeah,
it was
more
of self-taught.
Right. So so you decided to take that route and acting and modeling as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, wow. So you're full of things to do. You never get bored, right?
You can't sit still.
Yeah. So do you practice that, whatever it is you do?
My mythology?
Yeah.
Yes, I actually
Let me
have
find
a day
the word
job.
So I can read it too, man. Where is it? I don't know. Anyway, go on.
I do that during the week, and when I get home, it's like, all right, back to the acting and the filmmaking.
Right.
So
now, is there plenty of work in filmmaking there? No, so you have to create your own,
yes.
Right? And that's what you did.
That's actually why
we
started. Yeah, we had good film incentives. If I don't know, if a lot of people don't know, we were, you know, the hotspot. Batman vs. Superman and a slew of films being made in Michigan, and most of the big talent get cast obviously from here and fly in.
Oh.
But you know, I had a couple of lines in Batman vs. Superman and some other stuff, and then they cut the film incentives.
Oh.
So here we are sitting on set, and I'm so sick and tired of these people. They're making movies. They have no plan. Half of the time I show up before the director. like, you know what I mean? It's just terrible. And then I look at my scene partner for the scene, and I say, you know what? We got to put our name in the hat. We got to do something about this, because there's nothing of quality really coming out of Michigan. I shouldn't say nothing, because we do have, there's some good filmmakers in Michigan, some faith-based film that's really, really strong, and some other good filmmakers. But in general, so light with their independent film community.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to put our name in the hat. I went online film school, did the rocket jump thing, and did 5-minute film school. Anybody ever want to actually get like a jump into it or kind of get reconnected? Both of those I highly recommend.
Really?
Online, you don't have to, you know, go to a school and take years out of your life. You can crash course it online, and
wow.
And you can revisit. So if you're shooting a Mexican standoff scene, you can go right back online and look it all up and see how exactly that should be shot to look right. And so I love both those plays, but that's kind of what happened. We just decided to do this, and you know, you started with a tiny budget, because the amount of people that believe in you enough to hand you a bunch of money is small pool, because you've never done anything. And
right.
Then you
but
make one. And
do you start with a feature right away or a short film first?
We did two short films first for film challenges, just so that we could, so we realized how much we knew.
Right.
And then after we did those two, we made one feature. And that's actually after that is when I did my film school, because I sat in the audience and we had the screening, and everybody's giving me a high five saying, great job. And I was like, nah, that was not good enough.
No,
it's just not good enough. And yeah. I want to be better than this. This is not enough.
Right. So then you guys got an idea for this film right now.
Yeah.
If you're watching us, you can see the poster. It's called Eternal Code. And it looks amazing. I mean, the poster, if it tells the story of the film, it's very powerful, you know. So how did the film come about for you? I mean, did what parts of it were you responsible for? Did you do the screenwriting and the producing and the directing and everything?
So I this one...
And you're the star probably, right?
Yeah, she actually assists, does a lot of the casting and...
Oh, really?
And, and yeah, she's got a really good eye for talent and truth and performance and all that stuff. So I almost always have her wean it down to the last three or four, and then we sit down together with our whole team and figure out what's the best fit for everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
And this seems like a big film. I mean, you have a pretty big cast.
We have, it's an ensemble cast for sure. Last 2 years ago, I remember reading online, there's this story about this Italian doctor who was cutting off the head of a paraplegic and moving it to the brain dead body and putting the head on there.
Right.
And they were
like
going to do that in China.
Like that Reanimator movie I remember they had. Do you remember like in the 70s? They would have something like this. Like take a head, put it on another body, whatever.
What?
But they're actually...
This is like a horror film. Yeah.
They're actually... This doctor has done it on deceased primates and the nerve endings have regrown enough that he thinks that a medical coma can actually make this regrow, which is insane.
It is.
But it made me go, oh my God, we're that close to the Holy Grail, to the Fountain of Youth.
Right. Yeah.
And what's going to happen when you can have that? Like, you know, what Rockefeller's on is like 20th heart. I mean, so what's going to happen? These rich people, they're going to be able to live forever and they're going
like
to be
like superhumans kind of thing. And they'll be able, the rich people will be able to.
That was the story. I essentially took the story I read and extended it a little bit, and then I introduced a moral, a moral dilemma, which is, you know, and I love that the tagline. I can't even take credit for that. My distributor, Vision Films, wrote it. But would you kill to live forever? And that I think, you hear that at first, and you're like, and then you're like,
Maybe I would.
It depends on.
If it's me or you.
Is it someone I know?
Give me more details. Who am I killing? Can I just shoot them? Can I just like close my eyes and shoot them? Or do I have to like be in it? Like, is it going to be a long thing?
I don't think it's a tough decision, you know? I mean, me, you, living forever, I'll live forever, you know?
But there's also a thing of like, let's say you live forever, but you watch all the people
you love die. That's the Highlander story.
You know what I mean?
I love
so that's also that's also a thing. It, I think it's really remarkable what you're saying, especially the journey that you had to take, because like now in these days it's so nice that you can just create your own. So you don't have to do the whole, you can just watch it online and then practice it.
And that
gives you more than the sometimes the 4 years or the 8 years of university. You just watch it. Like there's classes that Masterclass. You can
They're phenomenal. Yeah,
they're
absolutely
phenomenal. You can watch. You can
Dustin
learn from
Hoffman
the,
and all kinds of really really good coaches. That Ron Howard has one. Phenomenal.
They take the best. They take the legends, and these legends give you a course. I think you pay like $180. Something like that for to have all time access to everything, and not all time, like a year. And then you can just make your own movie, and you can just put your destiny in your hand instead of waiting around. Be like, oh,
somebody else controlling it.
And that's beautiful.
I like that. And we've been in talks with several studios here. You know, anything from Netflix to Amazon and everything in between. And it's like every single time I go, I don't know, just feel like they're going to stick their finger in. And I just want to make sure that the integrity stays there, because I feel so often Hollywood has become a little predictable. And most of the films, like if it goes to theaters, it's a superhero movie and a ton of special effects and a spectacle that keeps us entertained. But when you walk out of there, it's like, there's really not story to this.
Right.
There was no purpose for this. There was.
That's true.
People need a lot of
stimulation. That's why I don't connect with movies lately. You know, I mean, it's
15 minutes
same.
In, you can tell me how the movie's gonna end.
Right. You know, and it's usually about, you know, kidnapping your daughter. You know, I mean, your family, revenge.
Yeah.
Guns.
No fresh ideas.
No, it's always the same. You know. So
I'm sure they have them, but it's we are not, you know, as independent filmmakers, we don't have for them. they have a hundred, like I reading about Quentin Tarantino, how much he had to work to get this last budget, and he had to add Brad Pitt for them to give him $100 million. We're talking Quentin Tarantino here. That's like our age, like king of film.
Yeah.
And you look at Scorsese with the Irishman, they went over budget and suddenly Netflix came in and picked it up. But it's the same thing there. By the way, have you heard that's going to be a 3.5 hour movie?
Really?
Who has that time?
Wait, oh yeah, that which one?
The Irishman. I mean, I'm going to watch it because
is that the one with Al Pacino and De Niro and Joe Pesci, right?
Yeah, you have that's to watch.
That's ballsy because in today's
society,
people can't even watch. People like after 10 minutes, they're like, all right, tapping out.
Yep.
Like even if I'm at fault of this too. I open a movie, like I start a movie on Netflix, and I watch it in parts
because
I have things to do. I pause it, and
people think I'm funny and weird that way. Now I see there's more people doing the same thing. You know, who's got 2.5 hours to sit and watch a movie? So you watch it in parts. You know,
there's a new streaming site coming out that is banking off of that idea.
Yeah,
where their episodes are the. You know, remember traditional cable TV or whatever?
Yeah.
Each segment's like 8 to 12 minutes and then there's commercials.
Right.
8 to 12 minute episodes.
Yeah, that's great.
It's in all honesty, bite-sized, it makes a whole lot of sense.
That's
it really
great.
Does.
It's the
same time, the same generation that don't have the time also binge watch entire seasons in one day. So I don't know if we have the time.
Yeah. They have time for that. Yeah.
I mean, it's also, I think, it relates to what we said with the movies. It's all like a stimulation thing. Mm-hmm. We need stimulations also in our life. So we watch for 5 minutes and then the phone and then this and then that. I think maybe that's a part of the reason why the movies, they lack maybe a story, like you're saying, and they have all these effects and, you know, things they do on post and stuff like that just to make the viewer
keep them.
Keep them because we're so used to a million screens.
Even with if you've noticed, back in the day, the camera was almost always still or very small pans and stuff like that. And now the camera is an active participant in the film.
And Did you have to, like, did you think about it while, you know, in the production of the film that you were like, did these things were part of like your decision making process?
Yes.
With the cinematography and.
Yeah, I let the film tell me kind of what's going to be important. So for this film, it's the most active camera we've ever had because it needed to engage because the pace of this film, even though it's a building, traditional building story with a first, second, third act and all that stuff, I wanted the camera to move with the subject. That was really important in this film. So we are on Steadicam or some version of handheld almost the entire film. Without being shaky and disruptive, I can't take that found footage feeling. It makes me like car sick, boat sick or whatever. Too much of that. Now you're taken away from the performance and everything else. Exactly. So I don't like that. But steady cam, smooth, I like that. And then in action sequences, yes, we can get the handheld and we can feel that movement along with characters for sure.
Right. So, Katie, this is a pretty ambitious film, right? I mean, there's a lot of action and stuff and people chasing each other all the time. And now this is a sci-fi, right? A sci-fi, is that?
I wouldn't say sci-fi. It's an action thriller. With a touch of sci-fi.
Okay.
And what's nice is, because, you know, talking about this already is, it's so close to home that it's like it really makes people think outside the box, even with the sci-fi that is involved, which we really like that. It's kind of nice. I think that's what keeps people intrigued.
No, it's cool to mix things together like that, like genres and stuff, you know.
But I think that's the cool thing you see. It used to be that women love the rom-com and the guys love the action, and now it's like starting to blend things so that everybody can get their fix and watch the same thing. And, and it doesn't have to be her night and my night to pick.
Yeah,
you know, you can kind of cross pick.
Very cool. How long did the shooting take for the movie? How long were you guys shooting for?
16 shooting days. Shot over 5 weeks, though. We shot Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I really like getting little breaks in there because it kind of refreshes me and allows me to go back and make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I've shot a few different ways. The Bennett Song movies, which have been pretty successful, we shoot because they're full of kids. So we shoot those mostly Saturdays and Sundays. So it takes like 12 weeks to shoot a film, which is crazy. This one had a 16 shooting days. We shot it over 5 weeks. And the last one we did, Ash and Bone, that we just shot in May, June, was shot over 3 weeks. And it was
like four, five days,
14 shooting days.
5 days on.
5 days on, 2 days off.
Two days off.
Wow. That's a lot of work, huh?
Yeah, I love
it. It's a lot of work. Did you ever count how many people in the crew all together for Eternal Code? No?
A lot.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So how do you put something like this together? You obviously need, help
great
from other people.
Team. You need a great team.
Good people around you.
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting here talking, but we have partners, and some of them are here now, and some of them are in Michigan still. But Annette and her daughter Angelina. Angelina's one of the stars in the film.
Wow.
I think she's amazing. And then Nancy and Callie, they're all production partners, and we all kind of wear hats together, and different people are good at different things. So, you know, Annette's been doing a lot of scheduling, dealing with SAG and all that hoopla. So I don't have to have that on my plate.
Good for
Nancy
you.
Is amazing at location. So she'll get us spots that we couldn't get. Katie is out there getting the so that we can drink a coffee and not have to hide the label. So we get all, we can wear shirts that says whatever brand, you know? Yeah. So she takes care of a lot of the product placement. She does, you know, we have 700-800 auditions for the film.
Wow.
So she weeds all that down to, you know, 40 people that we have to watch and pick from. So everybody wears a lot of hats but combined, we can do it and have fairly good excellence in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because we have a lot of people carrying the load.
Right.
It's all about, I feel like, the team that you have. Like, because I think there's so many variables that come into just making a movie that even when a movie is made, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
That the movie is even there. Because there's so many variables that had to come together in like a harmony just to have this made. So it's really about like a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah. When is the film released? I mean, this is new, right?
Yeah, actually, it was supposed to be releasing this coming Friday.
Okay.
We got an offer for a limited theatrical through a theater chain called Imagine, which is the biggest theater chain in the Midwest. And it's a luxury theater, and they offered us a limited theatrical, but they had to have a week before it kicks off on VOD for them.
Promotion.
Yeah, otherwise they don't want to compete against VOD because people can sit in their underwear and click a button. That's how everybody loves to watch movies these days. So they wanted it 1 week before. And it was crazy because they kept adding theaters and showtimes because of the demand. And I'm like, this is wild.
You know,
it's a small independent film.
Yeah.
And they keep calling me and saying, hey, you know, we can get another theater. Can we get another spot?
Very
and I'm like,
nice.
Great,
amazing.
Let's do it. And then 2 days before the showing, they said, we've had so many people wanting to come on Friday when it premieres.
What about a sneak peek?
Could you do a sneak peek on Thursday? And I'm like, sure. And then I look at the schedule, and they scheduled it for 3 showtimes on Thursday. So I'm like, that's not a sneak peek. That's a regular schedule. I'll take it. You know, so that's a good problem. Yeah, so it's in theaters. If you're in the Midwest, in Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin area, then you're going to have all kinds of
So you're
going to
have it in the theaters. Wow.
It is in theaters right now. Yeah, it was cool, too, because we got to watch it like, you know, like an audience, pay for a ticket and go in and watch it and kind of see how everybody was reacting, because you never know when you have an official premiere and everybody knows it's yours. That, you know, do you get true feedback? Will the reactions be real?
Right.
So it was cool to see that, you know, it worked.
People liked it.
People laughing were chuckling when they should be and go when they should be. Like all that worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very cool.
Very nice. And the story itself, how long did it take you to put it together? Was this like a joint thing, or did you already have the story? How did it work?
Yeah, I wrote the script. I write first drafts really fast. Mm. So when I get an idea, I kind of go into a bubble, and then I write for, you know, a day, 2 days, and then I have my first draft. And
oh,
then,
wow, that's very fast.
I know. People hate me when I say that.
<He's> Guys, who's ever listening, just know that a first draft of a movie can is like 90 to 120 pages of a script.
Yeah.
So that's...
I do a lot of rewrites, though.
Right. No, that's fine, but even a first draft, it means this guy wrote minimum of 90 pages.
Yeah.
Really?
Of dialogue and all that.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot for 2 days.
I do a really quick outline so I know my points. And then what I try to do the first script is I try not to think about who plays what roles or anything. Mm-hmm. I just let it come out. So however the story wants to come out, I let it. With a short bullet point page that helps me stay on track.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd end up with the Irishman of 3.5 hours. So I have to. But yeah, that part is really quick. Is the rewriting where it gets tedious, because now I have to start thinking about who I'm placing where. I got to say, I got so spoiled with my cast on this film. Mm. You know, the people that I have are just absolutely amazing and great performances. Some performances that I didn't even know they had in them. Which I hope you guys get a chance to check it out on VOD or something, because it's a really good ride.
Yeah. Sounds good. And I think we watched the trailer before the show, and I think even in audio people can get a certain idea of what the film is about.
I want
to
hear it.
So yeah, let's listen to a few seconds of the trailer of Eternal Code so you guys can get an idea. Very high action film. And sounds good, so let's check it out.
If you ever want to see your daughter again, shut your mouth.
We're the lead research company transplanting human heads.
You're breaking so many laws right now, Oliver. I'm still awaiting clearance on human trials.
All I can say is get it done.
My parents, Armin.
They're
making you to my house.
I need you to follow the rules without question. That's why there is $5 million in it for you and your boys.
Deal.
But you don't have to take this stand. It doesn't have to be your fight.
We know that they're selling this technology to the highest bidder.
That's cool. So I see you star in it too, right?
Yeah.
In the film.
I was an actor to begin with, and that's what brought me to all of this. So, actually, I think it helps me as a director a lot that I can speak their language and understand. You know, you as an actor, you walk in, and half of the time you get a director who says, can you be more sad? And he doesn't understand why that's complicated for you as an actor.
Right.
Because as an actor, you have to say, well, why am I not feeling more sad? What in my backstory did I screw up so I don't feel the right way? Then you have to go back to that, grab it, and then it's a complicated thing. So when you get an actor's director who knows that, they can make that a lot easier for you.
That's true. And besides, it's your own friggin' film.
You can
yourself, you can star in it. You can do whatever you want with it. You know?
I usually don't do any of the lead roles for the bigger films like this. I had a couple of main cast. This is more of a supporting role, but this one was a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was. It's I get to play a meanie, which is, I don't know why, it's fun to color outside the lines and play that character.
Yeah.
Because it's freeing, because you don't get to be that in real life at all. Like, in real life, you're nice to everybody, and, well, I don't, not everybody, but, like, it's kind of like, you know, I'm Swedish, and we're pretty nice people, I think.
Yeah. So, now, how does something like this, how do you get it financed? Were you involved in... the financing and the producing
team, our whole team tries to take on, when it comes to the financing, is finding investors. You know,
it's privately financed so far. Mm-hmm. So we build essentially the finances, and because of the finances, they get paid back first, which means that the funds coming in from the distribution will pay them back first, and then after that, it becomes a 50-50 split between them and us. So that way, everybody gets you know.
So there's people,
the cookie jar.
There's people that look to invest in films and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah. Oh,
you
and
just
if they
gotta
are,
find them.
The one we're doing next is going to blow the roof off of everything.
Really?
Yeah. I shouldn't get too much into that.
Okay, don't.
But I wrote the first script, and it was the best script I ever wrote.
Wow.
And I have a script writer who read it who said, holy smokes, this is the closest thing to a true original idea I've ever seen. but you have a couple of things that I think can tighten up. And he's a professional scriptwriter. And he said, do you mind if I do a rewrite? I'm going to not like mess up yours. I'm just going to do mine. Read it. If you like it, we can figure something out. Right. He did. And I was like, holy. So now it's, and I've read a lot of scripts. This is the best script I have ever read.
Wow.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys hit the jackpot, and that's a good thing. So yeah, I see you have your own production company, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Painted Creek Productions.
Yeah.
And so do you do films for other people too?
We haven't yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're open to the idea, but for me to be able to put all of me into something, I have to love it. I don't like doing things that I don't love because I don't think that you get all of me. And I pride myself on that. I pride myself on, like, don't sleep for a week if that's what it takes.
Right.
My work ethic's going to remain impeccable. And to do that, I need to love it.
Right. I see. Okay, well, maybe some other people's stuff you love, too.
We're
open to it.
Mel Novak has a story outline that we're talking about writing. It's a really good story. And Shane Hagedorn, who's also an actor in the film, has a really good script, a biker story that's great, that I would love to sink my teeth into. And those aren't necessarily my projects, but they would want me to produce and direct them.
Right.
Sizemore has a great script. Tom Sizemore has a really, really good script that he co-wrote that we were talking about making. And I would have loved to tackle that. That one's going to cost a lot of money, though, because he didn't write with a small budget in mind. But yeah, Richard Tyson has a couple really good scripts. Some of them are timepieces that I would be really open to making. So I'm definitely not closing the door on it.
Yeah.
It has to be the right time, right place.
Right. And how was post-production for this film? Did you guys spend a lot of time on this? I mean, you know, and this is now is actually my question is this your first full feature film?
This is my seventh.
Your seventh already.
Yeah.
So you've got experience.
Yeah.
You've done this before.
Yeah. We've so far. It's really funny because we've only released three films so far.
Oh.
Because when you first make a film, you don't think about the distribution. You think people are going to come, hey, Harley, we'd like to have your film. And they do. And then you take your contract to your lawyer, and he says, don't sign that contract, Harley. You're never going to see a dime.
Really?
And I go, okay. So but then you go through that thing until you find the right resources and the right people to actually have a distribution that where the film has a chance to go. That's why I love Vision, who is distributing this film. They distributed Bennett Song, and they distributed Betrayed that we released last year. And, you know, I believe 18 countries now and in theaters on VOD, even though it wasn't because of the ratings and stuff. So we've done really, really well in a short period of time. But this year, because of the backlog now of films that we have, we're releasing Eternal Code now.
Uh-huh.
On November 1st, we're releasing Enigma with Dennis Haskins, Mr. Belding, and TJ Storm. And then the same day, we're also releasing Abstruse, which is with Tom Sizemore and Dennis Haskins. Same day, two films. And then hopefully we have another limited theatrical. We did a sequel to Bennett's Song. So a Bennett Song Holiday is going to be out in December. And then we have probably the most critically acclaimed film, Agrimon's Gate, our first stab at like a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out to theaters in February. So the next 6 months is going to be crazy.
And what's Enigma about? That sounds enigmatic.
Yeah. I think I didn't know if I had what it took to make a horror movie, so I wrote one that was in the breath of, did you see Fallen with Denzel Washington?
I can't say I have, no.
That one was kind of like my inspiration because it's scary at times, it's kind of funny at times, and thriller at times, and I wanted to write a story that kind of encompassed all those audiences, and it gave me a chance to flirt a little bit with the horror community. So that one comes out November 1st, and it's a fun ride. It's essentially a demon who takes people over and essentially becomes them and then wreaks havoc on the world through that body.
Wow.
But the thing is, if you kill it, you kill the person. The spirit travels.
I see. Okay. Sounds good. So you can't kill the damn thing.
No, I actually wrote a TV series and was in talks with Amazon before they shut down their online studios. But we were getting somewhere. We were, I think, on level two or whatever. And level one would be, you know, you starting to some form of development. And then they switched people at the top and shut really? Down their online studio. And I'm like, no.
Really? They it's shut such it down good, and never heard of it.
Yeah, they had an online studio where you did, you submitted your show book and everything online. And you're, yeah, and you could progress through different stages. Oh. And we were moving, and then they shut it down. And
yeah,
here we are again. So, yeah. You know, now it's like trying to get a new meeting with either Netflix or Amazon or somebody to because that would be a fantastic series. I mean, you just think about the fact that if you have a demon where you can't kill the demon, but you can kill the person, that means that I can have a new star whenever I want to on the show.
That's true.
Right?
Who and would then, represent the body? Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And the episode could be standalone.
Yeah, absolutely. In a way. Yep, absolutely. Like each episode is its own story.
Yeah.
But then, if the only way I can make sense out of this is imagine that the demon is Dracula.
Yeah.
All the other people are the Van Helsings, the people who have been left behind in the from this demon coming in and shattering their lives. They're all going to chase Dracula. Right?
Uh-huh.
To get him taken out, and they're going to figure out all these different ways that maybe they could kill him with this.
Right.
So this is a TV series that could be in Detroit one season, New Orleans the next, and LA. Like, you could move it everywhere. It could have five different stars in three seasons.
Yeah.
And then you have all the people, that follow behind. They're the Van Helsings, and you could even kill off one of the main guys every now and then and get the whole Game of Thrones feel. It's a really, really good concept. So I want to make sure I get that one made because it's a damn good story.
Yeah. Oh, well, so we have the, that sounds amazing to me. You know, you guys obviously keeping busy.
Yeah.
A power couple, you know, and we wish you a lot of continued success. I mean, obviously you guys know what you're doing. You know, you have it all, your vision for what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's very cool, you know, and entertaining films, of course. Mm. How can people find you guys? Online, check you out, the movie, anything? They're looking at each other like, no, I don't know, how I'll, do they I'll, find I'll me?
Answer.
Okay, you don't all have right. to answer.
Official Harley Wallen on Instagram. I think one of the great places to follow us is on Painted Creek Productions because all the stuff, even cast calls go out through there. It goes to Actors Access and everything else as well, but that's a good spot to follow us. And then I'm a retired professional fighter, so I don't know. I've never changed my... My thing on Twitter, so it's Harley the Swede, which was what I used to be called when I was fighting. I still do a show on UFC Fight Pass, a live event a month. So I kept that site alive as well. So that's kind of where you can find me.
Very cool. And Katie, thank you so much also for showing up. The film is Eternal Code, and you guys can see it where soon?
Well, right now, theaters in the Midwest, Imagine, and then on VOD, it'll be everywhere. So whether you have Comcast, AT&T, Vudu, it's going to be everywhere. We got approved for every single one. So
very nice. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It seems like a great film. You know.
Yes, I'm looking forward to watching it.
I know, me too. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, or thank you.
Thank you,
as always. Thank you for listening, folks, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.